knowledge, we want to know the right kind of knowledge, of course. The knowledge which pertains to salvation. That's what's important. There's all kinds of knowledge out there that is not important and will not save you. And I mean biblical knowledge. I'll tell you what. I'll give you knowledge that will not save you. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. I mean, I'm pretty clever. I could probably find some way to benefit you with that. I'm just saying, I just randomly opened to the Old Testament and found a verse that the knowledge of which would not benefit you at all. I usually like to pick a genealogical. So I could scoot over to Numbers and pick out, you know, the names of the sons of Gershom were Libni and Shimei. Now we could make that a point of doctrine. But not giving heed to endless genealogies and other things that distract us from the knowledge you need is the knowledge that pertains to you becoming a son of God. The knowledge that helps you fulfill that in your life is the knowledge that you need. That is knowledge that I want you to abound in. In all diligence. And the diligence for that purpose. I always like diligence. It means to use speed. You know, eagerness, earnestness. To be diligent is something. It's to go at it. With speed, with zeal. And everything, every good thing of God. Verse 9, I speak not by commandment. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, he's saying, I'm not commanding you to be this way. You can't command someone to be that way. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, but there's an occasion here. Others have come forward. They were very forward with their gift, and they were very poor. So I'm letting you know. If any, you know, just to provoke you to jealousy, I won't be outdone by the Macedonians, no sir. That's what he's doing. He's provoking them. He wants to prove them. You know, make your calling and election sure. This is one more thing. Selfishness doth not God's elect make. It does not become them. And so what better way to put away selfishness by selfless acts? Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ is the richest man. And they want to say, I remember they said, Christ was a rich man. I mean, he had, you know, if he was alive today, he would drive in a Mercedes, right? I've heard this preached by people, that he wasn't poor. He was poor. But he was rich. Meaning, he owned everything. I mean, everything. If your father is God, that means you own everything. You even own the souls of the people who are bothering you. You know, you even own the souls of your enemies. If you're the Son of God, as he was. You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Jesus is his heir. And these are, you know, when I speak in these terms, don't be, you know, these are human terms. Heir, so on and so forth. There are things in God that are, the reason that we understand the way we do is because he speaks to us in our terms. What do we know of the language of heaven? If it was spoken to us, would we even? I mean, some people think it's Hebrew, and no. The language of heaven. It's not the language of men. And I tell you, is not, you know, the way we comprehend things, thrones, this, crowns, that's for our benefit. That's what they mean. But he was poor. He was not a wealthy man. I've heard preachers say, oh, he was wealthy, because they are wealthy. They want you to know that Jesus would have been driving in a Mercedes like me. And because they have no changes, they assume that God is one like unto them. No, he laid aside, as it said in Philippians, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on him the form of a servant, you know, and took on the nature of men. And he became a man of low degree. I mean, carpentry is an honorable profession. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, low life by any means. Respectable, hardworking. But, as Jesus said of John, you know, when they went to see the prophet, what did you want to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, men clothed in soft raiment dwell in king's houses. He was born in a place where they feed animals, in a cave. What do you suppose he could have been born in a palace? You know, would one not expect a god to be born in a palace rather than in some lowly estate? And in his life, will he not use his power to turn straw into gold, or lead into gold, or air into gold, or just nothing into gold? Just poof, ex nihilo, from nothing? You would think. But no, he was selfless. And not only that, he laid aside himself even to the death of the cross. He submitted to that. You know, talk about someone laying aside themselves. God is not asking us to do anything he himself was not fully willing to do in this world. And it's not that God wants us to live in poverty. He wants us to be worthy of what he's going to give us, ultimately. That's why we now show this goodness. Because in the world to come, there isn't going to be poverty. There isn't going to be sickness. But God wants us to know these things, to feel these things.